We want to welcome you all to the Lord's house this Sabbath morning. We're very glad of your presence with us. We're glad to see all that have been able to join the service today. The words of the psalmist, the Psalm 100, the verses 4 and 5, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." The words are words of instruction for us to guide us as we come into the Lord's house and as we come to the place of worship, just to guide our hearts and our minds. May the Lord give us that spirit of thanksgiving and of praise as we come to the house of God today. We're going to sing together the 14th section of the Psalm 119. It's a section that emphasizes the influence of the Word of God upon our lives. "Thy word is to my feet a lamp and to my path a light. Sworn have I, and I will perform to keep thy judgments right." So it's the Psalm 119, the 14th section, the verses 105 down to 112. And we're going to stand as we sing this. The tune is familiar to us. It's the tune "French." We're rising as we sing "Place." Together just in prayer, we want to approach the Lord with that thanksgiving and praise that we read of in the psalm, as the Lord has guided us and directed us. Think of the final words just of that psalm that we sang: "I carefully inclined have my heart still to attend, that I thy statutes may perform all way unto the end." We're praying the Lord will give us grace to be obedient to his word, to carry out his commandments, to do his will right to the very end of our days and of our lives upon this earth. Heavenly Father, we seek thee in prayer. We need thy help as we come to the throne of grace. We're conscious, Father, that we cannot approach thee or your throne in any goodness or merit of our own. We recognize, Father, that it's only because of Christ, our Saviour, because of the Lord Jesus, we come in his name. We come today, Father, pleading the value and the merits of his precious blood. We come, Father, to give thee praise and thanksgiving. We would ask today to touch our hearts. Touch us, Father, each one in this meeting. Give to us this thankful heart. Give to us, Father, the spirit, the desire to praise and to magnify your great name. Lord, we recognize and we acknowledge today you're the maker of all things, that without thee was not anything made that was made. We recognize today that thou art our maker. You're the one that has made and created us. We confess, Father, that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. We think of the marvel of the human body. And Lord, we recognize that you're the one that upholds all things by the word of your power. We look out upon the vastness of this universe, even the preciseness of it. We think, Father, of this earth as it spins and moves through its orbit. And Lord, we recognize and see how great thou art. We want to, Father, recognize that in this service this morning as we're bowed before thee in prayer. And we give to thee the praise and the adoration of all of our hearts. And Lord, we remember that all that we have in this life and in this world, it has come from thee, come from your hand. You have provided all that we have needed. You have provided, Father, those things for us in an abundance. You shower down your mercies, your provision, your blessings upon us every day that we live. Forgive us, Father, for taking those things so much for granted, for not remembering them and acknowledging them and giving thanks for them as we should. And Lord, we want to pray that a spirit of praise and thankfulness will go up from all of our hearts in this service today. Lord, we would be mindful of those across the earth that are far from being as well off as we are. Your word says, blessed is he that considereth the poor. And Lord, we pray we'll ever be mindful of those in great extremity, those that live in poverty. Lord, may we not be unmoved. May our hearts be touched as we think and consider their circumstances. And Lord, we would ask that you'll help us, even as the Saviour taught when he was here on earth, that we would do all that we can to help the poor. And Lord, we remember you've said in your word that it's more blessed to give than to receive. May we ever have that desire, Father, to give to others, to help them in their circumstances. And Lord, we want to thank you today as we've considered the temporal blessings you've given to us. We want to thank you for every spiritual blessing you've bestowed upon us in this land and in this life. Lord, we remember how you've blessed us abundantly. We thank, Father, of the spiritual blessings you've seated us with Christ in heavenly places. And Lord, we want to thank you for saving us. We want to thank you for cleansing us, for the power of the Saviour's blood to cleanse us from all sin. We thank you for bringing us into union with Christ, that indissoluble union. We're eternally united to him. Your word says that I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. O God, we rejoice today that you've been pleased to bless us with eternal life. Give to every brother, every sister in this meeting the assurance of thy salvation. We're conscious, Father, of the doubts that often come into our hearts and minds. Even the devil came to the Saviour and would cause him to question if thou be the Son of God. And Lord, we're conscious the devil and all the host of hell would seek to do the same to God's people. Remember those lovely words, the great promise that you've said, these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. And Lord, we want to pray that that will be true of every believer in this meeting today. We thank you for the blood of Christ that puts our sins away. And we rejoice today in the words, the promises of Christ that puts our doubts away. Lord, we want to ask that in this meeting that we'll grow a little in the things of God, that we'll grow in grace, the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Teach us more about Christ, we pray. We ask that we might be more like the Savior. Lord, we would plead earnestly today that you'll make us and conform us into the image of thy dear Son. Oh God, hear our prayers and our cries. We would ask that others might see Christ in us, in the lives that we live, even from day to day. Lord, bless every family of this church. Thank you for bringing us to your house today, all that are gathered. Remember our loved ones, especially those not saved. Oh God, give us a concern for their soul. We ask thee to be merciful to our families, unite them in Christ. We plead that every family of this church would know household salvation. You've assured us that if we believe, we'll be saved in our house. And Lord, we cling to that promise today, stand upon it, plead it before thee. We ask thee, Father, to keep your hand upon our homes and our families in the days in which we're found. We pray for the children of the congregation. Oh God, save them every one. But we do praise thee for the Sabbath school, the Bible classes this morning. Lord, we thank you for the report that we heard on Wednesday night, the blessing of that report, the encouragement. We thank you for the word of God that came to our hearts so appropriate, so clearly, so profitably. Lord, bless and encourage our brother Ken that brought that report and that message. Remember all our teachers. And Lord, as we were asked and exhorted on Wednesday night, we pray for the Sabbath school, for your blessing on it. We pray, Father, for more children. Lord, we ask that there will be an increase, an adding to the Sabbath school. We pray for an increase and an adding of young families to this church and to this congregation. Lord, hear our prayers. Remember the children of the land. Lord, we ask of thee all the evil influences been brought upon them of this ungodly, adulterous, wicked generation, Lord, in which we're found. We pray, keep the children, Lord, as they're brought up in the things of God. We would ask thee to keep them in the paths of righteousness. Keep your good hand upon them is the prayer of our hearts. Lord, remember all the activities of this incoming week, the service tonight. May you be pleased to bless it with salvation. Remember the outreach on Tuesday evening. Lord, we pray for reception for the literature that goes forth. Oh God, we ask thee to use the literature. You've assured us your word will not return unto you void. Remember, too, the prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Oh God, we thank you for the encouragement of the prayer meetings of recent weeks. We asked, Lord, that you'll give us a greater burden to pray together as a band of your people. We're conscious, Lord, even as we considered last Sabbath morning of the great need in our church, all our churches, the great need in the land today, Father, for an awakening, a mighty move of the Spirit of the living God. Lord, grant us even a little reviving today. Come upon us. Hear these, the earnest cries of our heart. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Then 409, please. Oh, for a heart to praise my God, a heart from sin set free, a heart that always feels thy blood so freely shed for me. So hymn 409, and again we're going to stand as we sing, please.
Feels like home.
take the scriptures together, please. We're turning to 1 Peter chapter 3. Peter's first epistle, the third chapter. We're beginning to read at the first verse. And we want to hear the Lord's word to all our hearts today. 1 Peter 3, verse 1. It's always good to note the first word at the commencement of a chapter. It can give an indication of the connection with what has gone before. That is the case here. We'll highlight that a little more in the message a little later. So we note he begins with the word likewise. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, and of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abram, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, notice the word again with which the chapter began. So there's a continuity here as well. Verse 7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honour unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips, that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Ending just there, our reading this morning, the close of the 12th verse, and we're sure the Lord will add this morning his blessing to this, the public reading of his word. We thank you all for coming to morning worship. We're glad to see each one that's present and assembled in the house of the Lord for this service. If you've come to visit with us, we want especially to acknowledge your presence and thank you for your attendance, for coming along. Pray that we'll all be blessed together as we worship the Lord and spend the time around his word. We're glad to see all of the children that are gathered with us and the young people as well. We appreciate and encouraged by your presence. We heard a very good report on Wednesday night about the work of the Sunday school and Bible classes was a challenge that was brought to our hearts as well. And our brother Ken brought a very clear and profitable word to us from Deuteronomy chapter 6 about instructing children in the things of the Lord. And I know all that were gathered on Wednesday night were blessed by that. So I want to pray the Lord will encourage the children that are with us. We were glad to hear you singing and preparing for Children's Day as we went into the prayer meeting this morning. We also welcome those that are watching on the live stream. We're glad that you have been able to join us for this service as well. Remember, please, the meeting tonight, the gospel service is at 6:30. The prayer meeting is at 6. We invite you to come a little early for the prayer meeting. Remember the gospel service itself. Encourage others from your family, your neighbours. Bring them with you under the sound of the gospel. We're continuing just the studies in the person of God himself on a Sabbath evening. Studies about God, but with an evangelistic emphasis as well. So we're going to think again about what God is like. We considered that just a couple of weeks ago. We'll bring a second part to that message this evening. Just to remind you that the annual Missionary Council offering has been taken at both services today. We ask you to give as generously as possible to that offering. Remember that one of the roles of the Missionary Council is to raise financial support for the missionaries and for the missionary work. The missionaries that go out have to raise 70% of their own salary, 100% of their own expenses, but the other 30% of their salary is raised by the Missionary Council and the Mission Board. So these offerings go towards the support of all of the missionaries and the missionary work. So we want to encourage you to give to it as liberally as is possible. Mark the envelope for the Missionary Council and place it on one of the offering plates at the door. Those that have missionary boxes, you're asked if you would bring them in at this time. Give those to our brother and sister Wesley and Laura. And if you would like a missionary box and you don't currently have one, speak to them about that as well. Just to emphasise, there is no parent and toddler group tomorrow morning because of the bank holiday. There will be just one meeting of the parent and toddler group in the month of May because of that. So that will be in 2 weeks' time on the third Monday of the month. Tuesday night, the outreach team is going out again, meeting at the church here at 7:30 on Tuesday evening. Keep that in mind over the summer period, the first Tuesday night of every month. We want to encourage you to join the team, to support the outreach work. There was a very good number. There was 10 that went out last month, and a very good area covered. So do keep the outreach in mind, please, on Tuesday night. Wednesday at 8, our prayer meeting and Bible study. I hope to be speaking at that myself, as well as bringing a message. I'll show a few pictures, maybe some videos, short videos, of the building project that is going on out at Emmanuel in Uganda, the building of the new shower and toilet block. All of the excavations have been carried out by hand, including the digging of the new septic tank for those toilets. So you'll be very interested just to see the workmen and the effort that has been put in to that. So please remember, the prayer meeting, we're encouraged by those that have been coming. In recent weeks, we thank you sincerely for your support and your presence, and we encourage others to come and join with us on Wednesday evenings as well. Next Lord's Day, the 7th of May, 10:40, the Sunday school and Bible classes, 11:30, the morning service. We remind you that after the morning service, there will be communion as we wait around the Lord's table. 6:30 is the evening gospel meeting. I hope to be the preacher at both of those services. Please do remember the half hour of prayer before both meetings. Keep in mind the calendars that are there in the porch for 2023. Some of the LTBS calendars, some of the children's calendars as well. We would like to see those used. There's some that have been left over. They're all free of charge. So we encourage you to take some of the copies of those and give them out to your family and friends. Remember the Reverend Park's new book, 100 Days After Lockdown. We'd like to encourage our brother with a good number of sales of the book here in Armagh. So the book costs £10, and all the money raised through this book, it is a missionary council project in conjunction with the Hebron Church in Ballymoney. So all of the proceeds help to support and to educate poor children in Asia. Just remind you that the Reverend Mercer and the Reverend Harris, the current chairman of the board and the former chairman, are both out on a mission trip to Kenya. They arrived safely there on Friday. They had two flights and then an eight-hour journey on the road down to Katali. So keep them, please, in your prayers. They come back again Tuesday week in the will of the Lord. Pray the Lord will use them to encourage the Pattersons, the churches there, the Glory Bible churches, the Kenyan pastors. They're also going to conduct the Kenyan Pastors Conference. The Reverend Harris would like to introduce the Reverend Mercer as the new chairman of the board. Mr. Mercer has been out in Kenya, but it's probably some 20 years since he was last there. So please keep that visit in your prayers. Just some dates to make you aware of so that you can note them, mark them in your diary, some special events that will be coming up for the congregation. The Ukrainian choir and Pastor Valentin, they're going to come and visit with us here at the church, God willing, in 3 weeks' time. That's Sunday the 21st of May for the evening service at 6:30. You know that we had the report from our brother Donald Fleming just a couple of Wednesday nights ago. He gave us a little update on the Ukrainians that were brought over to Ballymoney. So some of them and the pastor will be coming down. The pastor will tell a little of their story. He will testify. The group will sing for us in the meeting as well. They will speak, or he will speak to us through a translator. So that will be a little bit of an experience, different experience for you as well. So please keep that in mind. 3 weeks' time, the 21st of May. For the ladies, a visit to the Armagh Palace has been arranged for Saturday, the 3rd of June, at 3 p.m. In the afternoon. We generally would arrange a little event for the ladies at the end of the season. So that visit to the palace has been arranged in conjunction with the Lord Mayor, the current Lord Mayor, who's coming very near the end of his term in office, Lord Mayor Councillor Paul Greenfield. So we will be putting a list out for the ladies for that next Lord's Day. So that's on Saturday the 3rd of June at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The ordination of our three new elders, that will take place on Sunday the 11th of June at our evening service, 6:30 in the evening. We're expecting to have the moderator and the clerk of presbytery with us and other members of presbytery as well to conduct the ordination. There's a number of those to fit in over this period of time, and a challenge with other meetings and events that are taking place as well. So that's Sunday the 11th of June, the evening meeting for the ordination of our new elders. LTBS have asked us to come over to do another TV recording for them on Monday the 12th of June, the Monday evening. There's generally three recordings. I'll be preaching at one and leading the other two. They like the congregation of those that are preaching, members of that congregation to come to give support, to help make up the congregation for the recordings itself. So keep that in mind as well, please. That's Monday the 12th of June in the evening time. And then into the autumn, just after the harvest, with some ministry meetings planned with the Reverend Ron Johnson, Sunday the 8th through to Friday the 13th of October. The subject is going to be Aaron the High Priest. The Reverend Johnson has a life-sized model of Aaron. You may have seen photographs of it. We had those ministry meetings arranged with the Reverend Johnson for the autumn of 2020, but they had to be postponed because of the COVID. So we're glad that we've been able to rearrange those meetings. So that's after the harvest. The harvest this year falls on Sunday the 1st of October. So the following Sunday night, those ministry meetings, that's the 8th through to the Friday the 13th. So please keep all of those in mind and pray for the Lord's blessing to be upon them. Just finally, we want to sympathise as a congregation with our sister Sandra Nugent and the family on the death of Sandra's aunt, Mrs. Gertie Greenaway. Sandra's father, her late father, his brother Bertie. Gertie was Bertie's wife. She knew the Lord, and we know that is a great encouragement to the family just at this time. So we want to assure Sandra and the family circle of our deepest sympathy, assure them of our support and our prayers just as they pass through this time of bereavement. We're going to sing another hymn, please, before we come to the word of the Lord. 478. 478. Saviour, thy dying love thou gavest me, nor should I aught withhold, my Lord, from thee. In love my soul would bow, my heart fulfil its vow. Some offering bring thee now, something for thee. 478, please, we'll stand as we sing.
Lord,
Turn it again to 1 Peter chapter 3. Adrian, could you open those windows just slightly, please? So 1 Peter chapter 3. We'll just seek the Lord's face together. Father, we thank you for your presence in this meeting today. Already we acknowledge we've known the Lord to be here. We thank you for that. What a mercy, what a blessing it is. We pray that the sense of your presence amongst us might increase. We want to pray, Father, draw graciously near to us in this meeting. We ask now that you'll minister to us. We pray that you'll speak to us from your word. We want to pray, Father, that you'll open the scriptures to us. Give us a word just to guide us, even at this time. Lord, do remember all the meetings that have been announced for this incoming week, for the months ahead. Remember that your word says, whereas you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall do this or that. And Lord, we're conscious that all of these plans are subject to your divine will. We plead for your blessing upon them. We pray that there'll be for the advancing of the cause of God here in this place, the strengthening of this witness, the winning of souls to Christ in salvation. We pray for the Nugent family today, our sister Sandra, the wider family circle. Lord, we ask thee to comfort and encourage their hearts in these days of sadness, these days of loss. We ask, Lord, that thou who art the God of all comfort will comfort their heart in these days. Answer, Lord, all these our prayers. We offer them to thee today in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 3, the 6th verse is our text. We're going to be considering this passage and some of the verses in the previous passage as well, the previous chapter. But verse 6 speaks about Sarah, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Sarah's introduced into the passage as an illustration of what Peter is speaking of here in this place. We're going to think about the subject of how to be a beautiful Christian. Can I emphasize to you just at the outset that if you had ever met Sarah while she was here on earth, the first thing that would have struck you or stood out about Sarah would have been her beauty. Sarah was a woman of outstanding natural beauty. Whenever the Egyptians saw her, they said that she was very fair. In other words, she was a lady that was very attractive, very beautiful. And Sarah had what every woman longs for, because she retained her beauty even in her old age. In Genesis chapter 20, at that time, Sarah was pushing 90, almost 90 years of age. But she was still so attractive that Abimelech wanted to add her to the number of his concubines. You ask this morning, how could that be? How was she still so beautiful at 90 years of age? Well, there's no doubt that she got some help from the Lord. God put his hand upon her, rejuvenated her body in preparation to conceive and to bear Isaac at that very old age. So she was a beautiful woman. We want to note that and emphasize it. In fact, she was so beautiful that it made Abraham nervous. He was worried about her beauty. That is the reason why he lied on two occasions about who she really was. She was so beautiful that Abraham was afraid that when other men would see her, that they would think that the easiest thing for them to do would be just to kill him and to take Sarah for themselves. So it will be clear, men and women, that Sarah was a woman of exceptional looks. And it's Sarah's looks, Sarah's beauty, that Peter is dealing with here in the verses of this chapter. But let me emphasize to you, he's not speaking of her physical appearance, her physical beauty, but rather it is her spiritual beauty that he's setting before us. It is her attractiveness as a Christian. It is her beauty of character. Remember, the psalmist said, "Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us." What a prayer that is. I encourage you to take that to heart and plead it before the Lord. Which beauty, of course, is what the Bible in another place calls the beauty of holiness. And I want to emphasize that, brethren and sisters, especially in the day in which we live, this ungodly, unholy age and society. I want to emphasize it is holiness that makes the Christian beautiful before the Lord. And Sarah is held up here in this place. She's held up as an example of a Christian who possessed that beauty. If you look at verse 5, it says, "For after this manner in old time, the holy women also." There's a characteristic to strive after in the society in which we live, to be described as a holy woman who trusted in God. And then in verse 5, he goes on to say, "Even as Sarah." So Sarah is held up here in this place as an example of a Christian who possessed this beauty. She not only had what we would call the beauty of looks, she also had the beauty of the Lord, much more important. She had the beauty of holiness in her life. And how important that is, brethren and sisters. And I exhort you to realize today that there are qualities, there are characteristics that make you beautiful in God's eyes. There are Christian characteristics, and if you possess them, then when God looks at you, he will see you as one of great beauty in his eyes. You may not be good looking in the eyes of men, in the eyes of the world, but here's something much more important for the child of God. You can be good looking in God's eyes, a beautiful Christian. The question is, what makes a Christian beautiful? What characteristics are we speaking about or referring to? Well, let me answer that question and give you some of the characteristics. We'll not be able to touch on all. We may not be able to deal with all, even that I have in my notes this morning. But let me give you some of the characteristics that if they're found in your life, that will make you of great beauty before the Lord. Some that are set out here in 1 Peter chapter 3. The first I'll emphasize, the first characteristic is that of subjection. If you look at verse 1, he says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands." So Peter's teaching that the wife is to be subject to her husband. He's the head of the home. He's the one that's to rule the family. And how important to emphasize that truth in this age of radical feminism in which we're found. But let me say, brethren and sisters, don't be mistaken. Sometimes Christians are. Don't be mistaken today into thinking that that is all that the Bible teaches about subjection, the wife being in subjection to her husband. If you think that a wife is the only Christian who is to be in subjection, then you're greatly mistaken. Note carefully that first word of the chapter that I emphasized right at the very beginning of the reading. Likewise. What that indicates is that in this verse 1 of chapter 3, Peter's continuing the same theme from the previous chapter, chapter 2. He's saying that the wife is to be subject to her husband in the same manner as someone else that he has just dealt with. And if you look back to chapter 2, verse 18, you will discover who that someone else is. He says, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward." So I want you to see, he's speaking there of servants, or we could look at that as employees today. The idea is the same. And he's saying that the servant, the employee, they're to be subject to their masters, to their bosses. You're to obey them. You're to carry out their commands. But go a little further back up the chapter, to verse 13. He says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king, how relevant that is in the light of events in this incoming week, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evil doers. The ordinances there, they're reference to rulers, to governments. And the message here is that Christians are to be subject to the rulers, to the government of their land, to the government of their day. We're to accept the laws that they make. We're to obey those laws. We're to carry them out in our lives. Except, of course, if their laws contravene God's laws. And then, as the apostle said, we ought to obey God rather than men. But he's teaching there that we're to be subject, we're to be in subjection to the temporal rulers. So, brethren and sisters, realize that Peter's theme, the theme that he's developing right through this section of the epistle, is the theme of subjection. He's emphasizing that Christians generally are to be marked by subjection to the powers that be. If you turn over to chapter 5, you mightn't even have to turn the page in your Bible. Chapter 5, verse 5, he says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you. Notice the words carefully. All of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. He's emphasizing that Christians generally, all Christians, should be marked by subjection. And that same truth is taught by Paul in his letter to the church at Ephesus, chapter 5, verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So do you see, brethren and sisters, what he says, what the Word of God teaches? It's not just the wife, but all Christians are to be subject one to another in the various roles and positions of life. And if you read on in chapter 5 of Ephesians from that verse 21, if you read on from that place, you will see that all that he says in the following verses, all that he says about wives and husbands, about children and servants, it's all to emphasize, it's all to enlarge upon that fact. The fact that in all your dealings, in all your relationships with others, submission must be displayed. So as a Christian, here should be our spirit, our attitude, our outlook. You're to respect others. You're to respect their position. You're to respect their office. You're to respect their authority. And you're to seek to yield to it. The same, of course, is true in the church of Jesus Christ. There's that very solemn verse of Scripture. We noted it, quoted it in the lead up to the election of office bearers. Hebrews chapter 13, which states, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account. So the message is that church offices and church officers are to be respected by the Lord's people, and you're to be subject unto them. So brethren and sisters, let me encourage you today to see, to realize that all Christians should be known for their subjection. You think of the words in the book of Judges, the words that are repeated three times to sum up the spirit of those days, the spirit of those times. In those days, there was no king in Israel. In other words, there was no authority. There was no one that was subject to anyone else. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. In other words, everybody just lived as they liked, as they pleased. That's the mark of rank apostasy. And isn't that the sort of world, the sort of society that we live in today? People say, nobody will tell me what to do. I'll do whatever I like, whatever I want. I'll be a law unto myself. And sadly, that spirit is even found in the church, found among many Christians. How obnoxious, brethren and sisters, that must be to God. Can I ask you just to consider the question, is that what the Lord sees as he looks at your life, that ugly, lawless spirit? Or does he see the beauty, the beautiful characteristic of subjection? So brethren and sisters, the first thing that makes a Christian beautiful before the Lord is the attitude of subjection. The second characteristic I'll mention is that of fear. If you notice verse 2 of the chapter, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Let me make it clear. The idea, of course, is not fear of your husband. That's not the meaning. To the husbands, I would say in the meeting that you must be a very bad husband, a very bad man, if your wife lives in fear of you from day to day. The idea of those words is, of course, the fear of God. That should be the fear that is the mark, the characteristic of your life. Again, if you look back into chapter 2, this time the 17th verse, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So men and women, it is the fear of God that should be evident in your life. Remember, there's really two fears a Christian can have or can be marked by. One that's good and one that's bad. One that's wrong and one that's right. There's the fear of man. Afraid of those around you. Afraid of what they think. Of what they will say. Of how they will view you. The Bible teaches that the fear of man brings a snare. It gets others into bondage. You don't live like yourself. And that is an unhealthy fear. And we ought not to have it. We ought not to be characterized by it. The other fear, of course, is the fear of God. That's the one that all of us should possess. Now, don't misunderstand the word fear. When the Bible talks about the fear of God, it doesn't mean that we live in terror, that we live in dread of God. You should be in terror of the Lord if you're out of Christ, if you're still unsaved, still on the broad road that leads to a lost eternity. But that's not the meaning for the child of God. The idea is that we're to be in awe. We're to be in reverence of the Lord. We're to be overwhelmed by his greatness, overwhelmed by his power. That's the meaning in the word of God of the fear of God. And what is the result of a healthy fear of God? Well, let Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, give the answer to that in Proverbs 16, verse 6. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. I want you to take that to heart today. The result of the fear of God is it keeps you on the right path. It keeps you on the path of holiness. It's like a restraint. It holds you back. It keeps you from doing those things that are evil in God's sight. The fear of the Lord, or by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Why is it that sin is so rampant in our land and across the earth today? Why is it, men and women, that sin abounds all around us? Well, there's only one answer to that question. Let the psalmist give the answer. There is no fear, no fear of God before their eyes. You think of what you were told as a child, and maybe in turn you have told your own children. Maybe if you told lies, it was said to you, God has put that down in his book. Remember, we do believe that God records all the deeds of our lives. If you sin, if you do wrong, maybe you were told, it was emphasized to you, that God has seen it. God knows, he saw what you did. If you said things that were wrong, used words that you ought not, sometimes when you're talking to children, you tell them you said naughty words. You would emphasize to them that God is listening to all that we would say. Well, why do people say those things? Why do Christian people say those things to their children? What's the purpose of teaching them those truths? You ever think about that? Well, it's to teach those children to have a healthy fear of God, how good and necessary it is. And brethren and sisters, we need to be reminded of those facts, even as adults, especially in the day in which we're found. We need to be reminded to fear God, to fear God in all our conduct, in all the things that we do and say. And if you do have that fear of God, then it's a mark of Christian beauty that is found in your life. I have still a little way to go. I have another two points at least to bring to you. So I'm going to leave the message there this morning. We'll come back to the subject again in the will of the Lord. But I want you to think of that title, brethren and sisters, How to Be a Beautiful Christian. Take a little time to read the book of Genesis. Look for the chapters there that tell you the story of Sarah. Look in a little more detail some of those facts that I have stated to you about her beauty, some of the influence of that beauty, the negative influence upon her husband Abraham, and then ponder just a little of these things that we've emphasized, the importance of Christian beauty, being a beautiful Christian, let the beauty of the Lord be upon us. We live in a society that's obsessed with physical beauty and all the cost, all the money that is spent on that from day to day and week to week. And we can lose sight of the things that are really important. This is what is most important, brethren and sisters, for us as the Lord's people, the beauty of the Lord, the beauty of holiness that should be seen in all of our lives. So we're going to sing that appropriate hymn 419 as we finish the meeting this morning. May the mind of Christ, my Saviour, live in me from day to day, by his love and power controlling all I do and say. We'll sing all of the verses, 419, please.
Lord,
bow together just in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the guidance of it to our hearts. We want to pray that you'll help us all not just to be hearers, to be doers also of the blessed word of God. We pray that the mind of Christ, our Saviour, will be found in us from day to day. Remember the words of the scripture, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Lord, make us like Christ in our thinking, in our attitude, the spirit we have, the outlook that we have upon the life that we live, and even our duty to thee as the Lord's people. Lord, we want to pray that the beauty of the Lord, the beauty of holiness, might be seen in all our lives. We pray that our lives might stand out. Remember that Peter says here that even an unsaved husband can be won by the conversation, by the life, by the conduct of his wife. Lord, we pray for such a life that speaks to others. We pray, Father, for such a life that stands out so clearly that it leads others to Christ, that it is a challenge to them. Oh Lord, we think of how challenging and humbling even these truths of your word are to our hearts today. Give us grace to accept them. We pray for more of your grace in our lives, even as we considered together those few weeks ago. Let us be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So Lord, as we go from your house, we pray that you'll enable us to ponder, as Mary did, all these things in her heart. Help us to ponder and meditate upon these truths even a little further. Help us, Lord, not to forget them, to be forgetful hearers. Write them upon our hearts, and our prayers lead us on a little further. We pray that you'll even deepen our lives. Help us to mature a little further in the things of God. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our abiding portion, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.